a passage that many of you all know, I'm sure. 1 Kings 17. And we're going to read from verse 8. 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, being Elijah, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you've said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" He said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper room into the house, and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." And we always give thanks to God for his wise and wonderful word. Now, I was reading this the other day, which is part of the reason I felt compelled that it might be helpful for us tonight. I want you to notice something. In verse 9, God says to Elijah, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there." This is the interesting part. "See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So Elijah, in obedience to the word of the Lord, goes off to this foreign land. Now, at the time, what is modern-day Lebanon, this place that Elijah goes to, was never either under the Davidic king and Solomon, or the divided kingdom. It never came under the realm of Israel. It was never part of their territory. So Sidon was a separate land, a separate people, Canaanites, effectively. And Elijah is commanded to go to this woman that she might provide for him. So it's quite interesting that Jesus refers to this in Luke chapter 4. He says, "Of all the widows in Israel, Elijah was sent to the widow of Zarephath in Sidon." And so there's obviously something in this. This is a historical event, but what we recognize is in the Old Testament, there are many types and shadows of the one who the Jews would call Mashiach or Messiah, that in the New Testament in Greek is called the Christ, the Saviour of the world. So Elijah's told to go to Sidon, to this foreign land, to this territory outside of Israel, because he's commanded a widow to provide for him. Now, when he gets to the gate, he comes across the widow that he's been sent to. And what does he find? that the widow has no idea that he's coming. She doesn't know that she's meant to be providing for him. And so when he says, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand, she says, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. I don't have anything to give you. I only have a handful of flour in a bin, a little oil in a jar, and see, I'm going to gather these sticks, I'm going to go in, prepare what there is for myself and my son, and then we may eat and die. They are literally in dire straits. There is, in one sense, no hope of provision from this widow and her son. And yet, here's the wonderful thing. I don't know whether the term symbiosis would be the right term, but Elijah is commanded to go and to come to this widow who then will provide for him, who's been commanded to do so. So Elijah must go to be provided for. Now, people like hypotheticals. I'm not sure they're helpful in many cases. But if Elijah had not gone, here are some certain facts. The widow and her son would have died. In that, the widow and her son could not have provided for Elijah, and potentially that may have resulted in Elijah and his demise taking place. So, when Elijah obeys the command of God, he goes to the widow, who seemingly has nothing, and he says to the widow, prepare a cake for me first and bring it to me. Now this widow, you might imagine, was thinking, I've just told you that I'm preparing it for me and my son, we'll eat it and then we'll die. But what does she do? She obeys the word of the Lord. She prepares the cake, she provides it to Elijah, Elijah eats, and then God's word is fulfilled through the proclamation of Elijah and the obedience of the widow of Zarephath, some foreigner from another land. When she obeys the word of the Lord, she receives life. Literally, life. Because she is provided for in the midst of a famine. But not only that, the interesting thing is that her son is also provided for. So when we look at Elijah, Elijah is told to go to a foreign land. Why on earth does Elijah go? Well, obedience in the unexpected comes from obedience in private, where God has shown his trustworthiness. Elijah's done many things. He has started out as a prophet. He's gone before the prophets of Baal. He stood against Ahab and Jezebel at God's command, with God's word in his mouth. And now God says, just go to Sidon and this widow will provide for you. Elijah has been obedient in the simple and could you call private things. And so when it comes to public obedience, he follows in the same path. So it's very important that we understand that public obedience must stem from private obedience. That's the first thing. Now, when he goes, this woman, this foreigner, someone who is not of his people, receives the word of the Lord and responds with faith and obedience. Is this not just a picture of the gospel? Do you see the picture that's encapsulated? That he's told to go, to proclaim and to seek the widow, and the widow will provide for him. So what we find is that in the New Testament era, a go commission is given to the disciples, Matthew 28. Go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, Mark goes on to say. So the gospel call is to go to a people beyond our walls, not a Christian, not a God people, and to proclaim God's word to them. They may not even know that what you are giving them is what they need. That's the interesting thing about gospel proclamation. They may respond confused. They, in our case, may respond angrily. They might respond just with, why do I care? But here's the thing. Those who respond with faith and obedience receive life and life in abundance. When the widow of Zarephath, from a people not of Israeli origin, one who doesn't submit to the God of the Bible, she receives the blessing of the God of the Bible. And so therefore, not only the widow and her son, but Elijah eat for many days. But then tragedy strikes. The widow's son becomes sick. Sick even unto death. And she says to Elijah, what have you done? Why have you come to me? Is it to take my son, basically? And so Elijah takes the boy up to his room and he asks God to give him his spirit back. And so God responds to his prayer and gives life back to the dead. Isn't it important that not only are we obedient in private, that we're obedient in public, but we are an obedient people in prayerful consideration of our need of God's action on our behalf. So this widow of Zarephath literally receives her son back from the dead. And when we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ beyond the walls of the church, because remember, Elijah isn't called to the people within Israel. He does that at other times, absolutely. But he's called to the people beyond the region of Israel, to those people north of the kingdom in what would be modern day Lebanon. And the interesting thing about that is that when Jesus speaks to the disciples in Acts 1, he says, you will begin in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the ends of the earth. They've got to begin where they are and then look beyond that scope, and then some may be called as missionaries to foreign lands. That's what he's saying. And so with the gospel call in the Great Commission, we have all been called, where we're able-bodied and of a situation where we're able to do it, to go and tell what we've seen and heard. And through that, God will enable those people that we proclaim to provide for us, in the sense of Christ will build his church. When you look out into the north today, how many churches have closed down recently? How many congregations are struggling? And not to say it's always the case, but when you obey the Great Commission and you go into the world, when you're faithful in that gospel proclamation, however weak and feeble you are, God, in his grace, can then supply the needs of the church for many years to come. He says, I will build my church, but he said to us, go and make disciples. There's a symbiosis in that whole process. If we do not go, the people do not hear, therefore they do not come. Isn't there that verse in Romans 10? How will they hear without a preacher? They're all are sent to preach. But John's disciples, when they're sent away by Jesus, he says, go and tell what you've seen and heard. And that's what each of us is able to do. This widow of Zarephath, she survives. Her son is given back to her from the dead. And we may yet, if we keep this gospel work going, as I know many of you do, we will see provision for many years to come. Because God is not going to give up on his church. It's the church for which Christ died. But we need to be faithful in private. We need to be faithful in public. And we need to be those who are faithful in prayer, remembering that without him, we can do nothing. What could the widow of Zarephath do? Nothing. She obeyed the word of the Lord, and he enabled her to provide for Elijah. What did Elijah do? He obeyed, and God provided through the widow of Zarephath the means of his sustenance. Isn't it amazing what we see in types and shadows in the Old Testament? And the Great Commission is our call today to do that in a slightly different way, and to go out to tell, and God will provide for the church for many years